إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We praise Him, we seek Allah's forgiveness, and we ask for Allah's assistance. Verily, and we bear witness that there is no deity of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and His messenger. Whomever Allah guides, no one can set astray. And whomever Allah leads astray because of some... Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Because of some evil in them, no one can guide. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. I'm getting confused with the different people coming in and out. Tayyib. What was it about today? It was a new sheikh. It wasn't our usual brother who we got used to. And the brother today was discussing dua. Dua. Dal, ayn. If you know Arabic by now, some alif, hamza. From the word yad'u, da'wa. To supplicate, to invite. If it's invitation in terms of calling others, but when we do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are supplicating, we are invoking upon Allah, basically asking for our needs. And the Shaykh was mentioning the virtues of dua, and that it holds a great position in Islam. And really, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who supplicate to Him. And Allah does not love those who do not supplicate to Him. As it comes in a narration in the Hadith Qudsi, which means it's a narration by the Prophet ﷺ, but it is basically this, it's the word, it's Allah's words, Jalla wa Ala, but not the Quran. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O my servants, all of you are misguided unless I guide you. So ask me for guidance and I shall guide you. And all of you are hungry unless I feed you. So ask me for sustenance and I will sustain you. And all of you are naked unless I clothe you. So ask me for clothing and I shall clothe you. In this particular narration, we learn, as you should already know, that we don't have anything. If Allah didn't guide us to Islam, we wouldn't be Muslims. If Allah didn't allow us to make money to earn a living and eat food and be able to swallow the food, digest the food, and then furthermore get rid of it so we would not be damaged and our health will remain in good condition. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That wouldn't happen either. And that same thing applies to your clothes. The clothes that we are wearing is something that was given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the dua is basically that fine line where we express to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our needs. And the nice thing about it, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran, He addressed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي فَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي وَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ أو فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Now, there's something special about this verse. Usually, whenever the Prophet ﷺ would be asked something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal a portion of the Qur'an to address that particular question. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala usually will begin it by the term قُل. Say. This is when they came and told him, tell us about Allah. Allah revealed قُل هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد. Say, it is Allah the One. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا. We could go throughout the whole Qur'an seeing how many times the Prophet ﷺ was commanded to say, قُلْ, say to the people. Say to the people. Now the unique thing about this verse is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if my servants ask you about me, If my servants ask you, like your son came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding our invocation, when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the reality of our supplication? Where does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how does He deal with it? Here, the answer came automatically, there was no qul. Allah says, and if my servants ask you about me, then verily I am near. Not near in a physical sense, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the seven heavens. He's above a throne and there's nothing like Him. So don't have an image of nothing. But Allah is near in His knowledge. Allah is near in His qualities of lordship. Sight, hearing, encompassing, knowledge and so forth. Everything that is related to the lordship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. Even if we are sitting here, the affairs of our hearts, what's going on in our minds, is not something that Allah does not know about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it without having to be physically present, as some people might think, because of some misconceptions that they have. So our belief system is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above His creation. Yet at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَنِّي قَرِيبٌ verily I am near. And the indication here is that I am near in responding to the supplication. Then Allah says, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَى. And I will respond and I fulfill the supplication of the one who invokes upon me when he does so. So let them believe in me and let them respond to me, perhaps they will be among those who are well guided. This verse is a comfort for us. Because see, the devil, may Allah curse him, might come to one of us and try to whisper some nonsense and try to make you feel that, is there really somebody listening to you? Does God really listen to you? Is He really concerned about you when you're supplicating? I mean, who are you at the same time? There's a million, millions of people around the world. How come you specifically are being noticed? What's so special about you? The shaitan works in mysterious ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted this concept that we need to have trust, that every time you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, then know that Allah, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears you, sees you. And this is where the narration, maybe we dealt with this last Friday, we said that when you supplicate, according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's one of three things. Right? Did we deal with this last week? SubhanAllah, we already spoke about this last week without the Shaykh, now the Shaykh mentioned it. It's one of three things. Either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that which you are asking for, oh Allah, I want a new car. Maybe you're driving a 1965 Nissan, they don't have it anymore, style. And you want a new car, because your car is giving you a hard time. There's no shame and no harm in asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything that we want, in order to help you worship Him. So you could go with it to the masjid. So you could go in and seek knowledge. Not so you could go to somewhere else and disobey Him with the bounty. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give you a new car. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might not give you a new car because He knows that it might be, that it could be a source of trial for you. Where you get fascinated with the new car, and then instead of going to the masjid, you go and wash your car. You're sitting inside making sure it's all nice, shiny and nice. And you forget about the acts of worship that you were doing before. Because you have some new gadget in your life, and you're so excited about it, then the things that you're worshiping Allah with, you put them on the side. So Allah won't give you a car. Because Allah knows you're weak, out of His mercy He deprives you of the car. So you think, wallahi man, you know, I ask, nobody ever answers me. I've been asking Allah for so many years for X, B, or Y, Z, and it doesn't happen. You don't know. It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing mercy to you, but we don't understand it, because our knowledge is limited. And the third option is that it will be given to us in the hereafter. While you'll be living lavish in paradise, you'll have a whole bunch of goodies suddenly come to you, say, hey, what did I do? It will be said to you, this is with your supplications in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had saved them for you till today. So we supplicate anyways because it is an ibadah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, as the brother said in hadith in Abu Dawood, that the Prophet ﷺ said, الدعاء هو العبادة. In another narration it says, الدعاء مخ العبادة. Supplication is worship. Supplicating is worship. And this is why you will find a lot of the disbelievers claim that they don't worship anyone but Allah. But they say it's okay to invoke on others. And that I'm just asking, I'm not worshipping them. I'm only asking Saint Farfur for the good stuff. But I'm not worshipping Saint Farfur. I'm coming up with the name Farfur because I don't want to say some other name. And so they say that we're only dedicating our supplication to the saint, but we believe in God and we worship God. This ideology is batil, is false. Because once you supplicate to someone, then you are worshipping them. Because we have been taught in Islam that supplication is worship. So we do not dedicate our supplications to anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there are certain etiquettes when we supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't mention that. But we could mention that inshaAllah. But that's early inshaAllah. The brother is reminding us of something very much connected to the subject matter. So jazakallahu khairan. Currently though, before I, because I lose my thoughts quickly, you know, everybody knows me by now. I did this last night too. Now, so there are etiquettes for dua. And it is advised when we supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, there are certain times where the supplication is accepted according to certain narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For instance, the traveler, when you are traveling, you are in a state of travel, this is among the times where his supplication is accepted. Also, when the rain falls, when the rain starts falling and the doors of the heavens are open, the supplication is also accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, the supplication of the father to his son or daughter. I know the narration says the father. Both parents, inshallah. But I don't know the narration of both. But the supplication of the parents to the children, inshallah, should be the same. Also, the supplication in the state of sujood. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, when you are in the state of, ask for the ruku', glorify Allah with it. Ask for the sujood, then exert yourself in supplication, because this is the closest that the servant is to Allah. Yani when you are at the lowest level on the ground, this is the closest you are to Allah. In terms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting and responding to your supplication. And so this is the time is advised. Also the day of Jumu'ah. And this is very important. Today, okay, in Islam, the night comes before the day. We said this before also. The night comes before the day. So right now we are Friday, the day. As soon as Maghrib comes around, Islamically it is Saturday night. It's no longer Friday night. To people, it's Friday night. To us, it's Saturday night, because the night comes before the day. Then Saturday night will be until Fajr. At Fajr time, it's Saturday, the day. And then until Maghrib of the Saturday day, it will be Sunday and so forth. So tonight, or today, at the end of it, before Maghrib, the Prophet ﷺ said there's an hour. It is the last hour before Maghrib. No servant of Allah is found supplicating to Allah except that Allah will give him that which he's asking for. Which is the last hour today before Maghrib. So I advise myself and you, if you have the ability, to go to the masjid a little bit early, before the adhan. That way you could get there maybe 10-15 minutes early, have the chance to pray tahiyyat al-masjid, and you will be getting two in one. The first thing is that you are asking Allah while in the state of the sujood, which already has means for your supplication to be accepted. Furthermore, you're doing it at the last hour of Asr, before Maghrib on the day of Jumu'ah. So it's more of a reason why our supplication might be accepted. And of course, the most important thing that we ask for is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us firm upon His belief system. And that we live according to His commandments and we die accordingly. And we don't want to focus on asking for worldly stuff and forget about our iman. It is no harm in asking for everything, but our emphasis and focus should be our iman, our faith. That we remain upon the truth, whatever it may be. And it is only in one place, what we currently have. So this is very important that we know what we're asking for. As for the etiquette of supplication, it is advised that you'll be in a state of wudu. Not a condition, okay, it's advised. Whenever we say it's something advised, meaning it is preferred, it is better that you do it. If you don't do it, it doesn't mean that it is prohibited. That you are in a state of wudu, that you turn towards the Qibla, and that you raise your hands. Now, raising the hands is a very sensitive issue. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith about the man. He said, there's a man, أغبر أسعف, with dust, his hair standing, he is supplicating to Allah with his hands up. But then his money is haram. He earns his money in haram. The food that he eats is haram. His clothes. Ya shabab, خلونا نحكي الله يبارك فيكم. His clothes are haram. He's been fed from haram. He's all haram. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. Now, how is it? How does he expect that he will be, his supplication will be accepted? So this is what the brother was reminding us earlier. Among the things that we need to be mindful of is that we are living in halal. Halal means something which is permissible and permitted. Meaning you're not earning things in a manner that is unlawful. Lawful. Everything you do is lawful. You make money in a lawful way. You go rob a bank and you ask Allah for goodness, there's a good chance that you will get no goodness. Because the way you are feeding yourself and clothing yourself and the money that you have made in and within itself is unlawful. So this is means for us not to be accepted, our dua not to be accepted. So we need to be careful of the sources. And the brother also mentioned qati'at al-rahim, which is breaking the ties, the kinship ties. And in Islam, keeping your family ties is something very important, whether they're Muslims or non-Muslims. You don't break up with your family and say, wallah, that's it, I don't like this cousin of mine or this uncle of mine, and yalla, khalas, close the door, he calls you, don't answer the phone, you don't visit him. In Islam, this is something very, very, very dangerous. So much so that the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يدخل الجنة قاطع رحم. He will not enter paradise, the one who breaks his kinship ties. So even if our family members are disbelievers, we keep our family ties within reason. And we keep a relationship with them, but we do not go into their acts of disbelief. We remain upon our belief system, and we don't change what we're supposed to do to please them. But at the same time, we don't cut them off. And the parents is even more emphasized. Because the parents are the closest, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Your parents are the closest of the kinship ties that you have. Now as far as raising the hands, it is a sunnah to raise your hands when you supplicate to Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ has been narrated on more than one occasion that he used to do so. Specifically, the one that is famous is when it was Jumu'ah. He was given a khutbah, and a man came in and said, oh Messenger of Allah, our vegetation is gone, we're destroyed, it's dry, there's drought. Ask Allah for rain. Then the Prophet ﷺ raised his hands and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain. So much so that there was no clouds in the heavens. Then all of a sudden the cloud came right above the brothers and it started raining. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the supplication of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this has been proved in history and in the biography of the Prophet sallallahu and other textual evidences. And then it remained raining for a whole week. Till the next week came. So the man, the same man came, said, oh Messenger of Allah, the rain is too much and now we're drowning right now in rain. Ask Allah to stop the rain. So he said, Allahumma hawalayna la alayna. Oh Allah, around us but not upon us. Around us but not upon us. And then the rain stopped by the dua of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now there's people in this day and time, Muslims, have a misconception about raising their hands. So you see they raise their hands all the time. When the Imam is given the dua and the khutbah, there's no raising hands. Yeah. Even if people do it. When you finish the salah, the obligatory salah, some people, as if there's like either they're warming up their hands or there's some term of luck, they go like this. No. No. Okay, you're a new Muslim, take it from the right sources. There's no such thing. It has never been narrated in an authentic narration, not even a weak one as far as I know, that the Prophet ﷺ ever did this. Where he would blow in his hand and then he would make supplication after salah then wipe it on his face. The only time he has done so is before he used to sleep. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before he would sleep, ya hala wallah. Before he would sleep, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite Qul huwa Allahu ahad. First he would go like this. Okay? Or after barakallahu fik. Na'am. He would recite Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, the whole surah of course. Then he would go like this, not without spitting, but the action of spitting without the actual saliva. Then he would wipe his face, head, and whatever he's able from his body. This is the only time that we know that the Prophet ﷺ used to do this before he would sleep while he's lying on his right side. As for doing it after every salah, every time the imam speaks, every time you want to make dua, you raise your hand, and these times it's an innovation. Because our acts of worship are conditional to time and reason. So if you're doing it at the wrong time, although it is a sunnah to raise your hands, you have to do it at the time that it was done. To come and be consistent with it and think you're going to get closer to Allah through an act of worship which He did not legislate is not going to work out. So raise your hands when you supplicate in random occasions. You might be sitting at home and all of a sudden you feel like you want to ask Allah for things. You raise your hand and you don't have to wipe and or heat them up and wipe anything afterwards. But yet, you begin by praising Allah. This is among the etiquettes of dua. You praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you want. You praise Him for His beautiful names and attributes, for bestowing the Islam upon you, for making it easy for you to earn money, for whatever you want. Praise Allah for what He deserves to be praised for. Then you send peace and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then you supplicate. Then you ask Allah for everything. And there are certain verses in the Quran and narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that already are laid out for us. All we have to do is memorize them, like رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. And the end of the supplications, Allah give us in this life a goodness and in the hereafter goodness, and protect us from the punishment of the fire. Oh Allah, do not turn our hearts away after You have guided us. There are beautiful supplications in the Quran on the tongues of the messengers of Allah, like Ibrahim and Nuh alayhim salam, and other prophets who supplicated, in Zakaria, Yahya, who asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a son, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded. So also it's the sunnah that you make yourself hear. You hear yourself when you supplicate. So you don't scream and you do not do it in your heart, but you do it in such a manner where you are able to hear yourself without disturbing those who are around you. Then you supplicate and you do not ask Allah for evil things. And you do not supplicate against someone else. Yani oppressively, unless somebody was oppressing you. But you don't supplicate on your children, oh Allah destroy them, oh Allah kill them, or something like that. Some people, man, they got in the habit of supplicating against their children when they have an issue. They supplicate against them. And you don't know when is the time where Allah will accept the supplication, and they wind up ruining their own children with the supplication. So anyways, it is not advised that we say anything evil in our supplication, but we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for goodness. And then when you're done, you also send again peace and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are different versions of saying it. The easiest one is Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or you can learn it from any brother whenever you get the chance. This is the etiquettes, and now you could remind me if I'm forgetting anything. These are the etiquettes of supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
How about the start, the intention, of course?
I'm sorry, Sheikh?
The intention.
The intention in what?
About the wasa for the benefit of many Muslims. We have to tell that. Because dua is a worship.
Yes.
Must be sincerity of the intention.
Now. The brother's reminding us, it's a fundamental part of our deen. Everything we do as Muslims is based on intentions. And our intentions is one intention, which is seeking the pleasure of Allah. And this is something that you really can't play around with in Islam. So you don't do something to please people, you don't do something for the sake of people, like other people do. Allah, they go to a charity, a fundraiser, and he looks around, makes sure that as many people are looking, he waits for the hall to be full. He puts out his $5,000 and goes, said, here, I'm giving this for this church so it could be built, and this, and Jesus can be worshipped over here, and all this crazy stuff. He ain't seeking nobody but the people to say, man, this guy helped us out, build the church, whoa, honor, rich, fancy, generous kind of stuff. People do for different intentions. As Muslims, this can never be the case. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi, I am the most self-sufficient from having any partners. So whomever does an action seeking a partner with me, I will leave him alone in his action. So you do something for Allah's sake and to get some goodness on the side, you will get nothing from Allah. So we only have to do things for the sake of Allah. And what we supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, apparently you're not going to supplicate to anyone but Allah. And you're going to be doing it strictly for Allah's sake, not for any other worldly gains. Na'am? Dua Yunus alayhi salam, you know Jonas, who was swallowed by the whale? You know this probably from your pre-Islamic history, if you ever read the Bible. If you ever read the Bible. Some of those people never read the Bible. Anyways, Jonas was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually a messenger. وَإِنَّ يُونُسَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ He had an issue, and Allah caused the whale to swallow him. And he was living in the belly of the whale for Allah knows how long. Anyways, when he reached the point of despair, and he knew that there was no running away from Allah except to Allah, he said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ أَنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ There is no deity worthy of worship but you. Glory be to you. High above you are from any imperfection. Verily I have been among the wrongdoers. This particular dua, the Prophet ﷺ said, any Muslim individual who asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same manner that our messenger Yunus did, except that Allah will accept his supplication. And also among the etiquettes that will make your dua being accepted is that you have, your mind is present. Alhamdulillah, you remind me of another thing. Is that your mind is present. Because see what happens to people, and you will see this in the masjid. I'll only strike examples so you'll see the masjid. You see people go like this in the masjid. And then you walk by them to look at you. While he's supplicating. Or he might be spying something in his hand. This is somebody asking Allah, at the same time his mind is with you, with the people walking in back, with his hands, dirty nails, whatever else comes to mind. This kind of act of worship is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in order for Allah to respond to you, your heart has to be present. So you have to really mean what you're saying. It ain't just about رَبَّنَا أَتِرَ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَرَ فِي رَاكَ لَكَنْ عَظَمَ النَّارِ لا يا شيخ. You mean you are asking Allah for things. So you say it with manner, proper manner, slowly but surely, and you know what you're saying, and you have a heart that is present, that you are currently, because the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah does not accept the supplication of a person whose heart is absent. And the more we are in need of something, the better the chance that our supplication will be accepted. And you know what happened to Abraham when they wanted to throw him in the fire? And when he was sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah made the fire a source of coolness for him and safety. Even the fire was not able to harm him. Although the fire's job is to burn you. So anyways, the idea is the more we are in need and we are sincere in our supplication and our hearts are present, the better we will have a chance for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to respond to our supplication. Our whole life is for that purpose. To supplicate to Allah, the Fatiha is a supplication. Our whole life is supplication, hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save us from the fire and bring us to paradise. Facing the Qibla, if you're able to do so also, it's just advised to be on wudu, to face the Qibla, to raise your hands. But not a condition.
This hadith is when you say you will read it in the morning or in the morning when you die, God will forgive you.
Hey.
It says, Allahumma tawafi.
الله أكثر وأنا عبدك. نعم. Absolutely. This is called سيد الاستغفار. The master of all forgiveness. Oh, there are a bunch of supplications to ask Allah for forgiveness, but there's this one, the one that Jazakallahu khairan, the one the brother mentioned, is سيد. سيد is the master. Because the content, and there's a lot of mashayikh who actually explain this hadith and this supplication, and it is very sophisticated. I'll try to translate, forgive me if I'm going to make mistakes. It basically says, Allahumma anta rabbi wa ana abduk. Allahumma anta rabbi khalaqtani wa ana abduk. Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani wa ana abduk. Oh Allah, you are my Lord. This is how the supplication begins. Oh Allah, you are my Lord. You have created me, and I am you. And there's no God worthy of worship but you. You have created me, and I am your servant. وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ عَهْدِكَ وَعَدِكَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ and I am upon the promise and the covenant that you have given us to the best of my ability. أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت. I seek refuge in you from the evil that I have put forth. ومن شر وأبو لك بنعمتك علي. And I admit and confess to you your bounty upon me. وأبو لك بنعمتك علي فاغفر لي وأبو بذنبي. And I confess my sin. فاغفر لي. So forgive me. إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. Verily no one can forgive the sins but you. This is like this kind of asking for forgiveness is strong, because it has two things. First, you are admitting your shortcomings. At the same time, you are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the two keys for the supplication to be accepted. Confessing our shortcomings because we are full of them, and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He deserves to be praised. So this particular narration, it comes in the sunnah that if you recite it in the morning and in the evening at the time of adhkar al-sabah wal-masa', and if you die, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you sins. Of course, you want to say them with a present heart and knowing what you're saying. But if you could say it otherwise, in other times while making sujood, yes, as long as you do not think that this is a sunnah. You do not do it as this is the way it's supposed to be done. But as a supplication, you're free to use the supplications from anywhere, anytime. As long as you do not make it consistent and tell people, no, you have to do this when you make sujood. Otherwise it becomes an innovation. Na'am.
Bismillah.
Na'am, al-adhkar sabah masa, we can go to tomorrow. The Sheikh has a class. Na'am.
Sometimes, okay, we need to have supplication. I mean, some of us wanting, hoping that our supplication be answered. Now, this is the question. I mean, do we really deserve so that our supplication will be answered? I mean, okay, there's someone guy. He made dua. Well, he pray once a day. Only three around.
No.
Don't he himself
be answered this prayer? Well, the way the scholars deal with these things is say, فَضْلُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعُ. The bounty of Allah is encompassing. So nobody can come really and say that. Because if Allah wants, Allah accepts the dua of the disbeliever if he is oppressed. طيب? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, be careful of the supplication of that the one who is oppressed. Because there's no shade, there's no shield between it and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if he's a kafir. Actually the kuffar, whenever they will be in the ship, in the ocean, and the waves and the star coming upon them, they supplicate to Allah sincere in their deen. That if you save us from this, we will not go back to shirk. As soon as Allah saves them, they go back to shirk. Yet Allah accepted their supplication at this time, while they kuffar. So for somebody to have shortcomings and ask Allah, there's no contradiction between that. Actually, you ask Allah to get you out of your shortcomings and help you fulfill all the obligations you have as a Muslim for performing the five daily prayers and so forth. There's a class for the Shaykh. I always stretch it too long, and this is not fair. Plus we have a radio show in 5 minutes. So أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ وَلَكُمْ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ بِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. جزاكم الله خير, وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.